You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Paul Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome one and all to yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast dedicated to the week in wrestling, news, commentary, reviews, and so much more. Thank you for tuning in yet again for yet another, what will be another awesome ass show. My name is Aljon Go, lifelong wrestling fan. Call me a smart mark. Call me Aljon. I would appreciate it. You can also call on this guy here. He's got the glove of injustice. He is our wrestling heel commentator, Mr. Steven Anthony. How are you, sir?
I'm great, sir. I wanted to let you know, as far as the glove thing, I just recently rewatched an angle from Mid-South Wrestling where Michael Hayes stole Ted DiBiase's black glove and used it on him. I've never actually seen that before. Very rare.
I love that.
Jim Ross was going nuts. He stole his glove. He stole the glove.
Of course he's doing that.
Screaming in fear for DiBiase's life that he had lost the glove.
I love it. I also love the fact that whenever you say Jim Ross, I automatically hear the words in the Jim Ross voice coming through my ears, you know, just you can't help it. It's so iconic. I tell you what. Thank you once again for tuning into the show, downloading the show and listening to this audio version. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, this audio version of the show. Internet is really clogged up, and I apologize to Steven all week long because my work schedule has been absolutely crazy, and I can't help it. I can't help it. The works has been crazy. The show is going out a little bit later than I would like, but having said that, we're going to have an awesome-ass show, as I said earlier. Yes, you can hashtag that and let that trend worldwide using the hashtag awesome-ass during the playing of this show whenever you're listening to it. Really quick, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this show, don't forget you can check out ProWrestlingCast.com, where you can check out our archive of shows via YouTube. You know, we've got this really cool YouTube channel. You can also download archive shows as well and hear our thoughts, our machinations, if you will, on wrestling.
Wow.
I know, right? How about that for words?
You just retrogressed me.
Just hashtag that. Yes, I retrogressed you. We're going to get to that momentarily. But you can also check out the archive of podcast shows from the Weeby Geeks network at weebygeeks.net that host our podcast. And listen to what we think about the WWE Divas, the tag team division, about Ring of Honor, about Lucha Underground, for example, and reviews of the Mick Foley special and so much more at ProWrestlingCast.com. Support our podcast. You can do that very simply by clicking on our Amazon banner at ProWrestlingCast.com. There you can get everything you ever wanted through Amazon. It doesn't cost you anymore. You just simply click the banner and kicks back a few extra percentage back to the show so we can keep things rolling. And also, once again, highspots.com.
Yep.
Dig wrestling shoot videos. I'm going to continue to promote this because they're a great site for wrestling shoot videos. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours of wrestling history being told by the superstars themselves. Yes, sir. You were saying?
Ahmed Johnson shoot interview. I've
yes.
seen it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's spectacular. He's a card. I can't wait to ask the gentleman about what that was like.
He's a card. Listen, we've already had, retrogress. We've used the term card. What the hell other word have we used today that hasn't been spoken in the English language in maybe two decades?
about Happy as a Lark?
Happy as a Lark. Okay. Yeah. So you can check out High Spots through our link. If you're a big fan of wrestling shoot videos, thousands upon thousands of hours of that stuff digitally or on DVD available for you to purchase. And you can help our show in doing so. Once again, not costing you any more. You just help out the show. But High Spots isn't just about videos. You can pick up wrestling t-shirts, memorabilia, signed photographs, and so much more there. But the main thing you need to do is just check out ProWrestlingCast.com. Now,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to turn it over to wrestling's heel, Mr. Stephen Anthony, with our news and commentary for this week.
This Week in Wrestling News.
Sir, we have a lot of things going on in this week of professional wrestling, and let's go ahead and get started with the WWE Raw report. Shall we do that?
Sure, sure. You know, Raw actually had a pretty good week, based around Daniel Bryan. What was that? Was that like a retirement? What was that? Or is he gone a week?
Oh,
I don't know.
I don't know. It's very indefinite. If you're just tuning in, the chances are that you know that Daniel Bryan is putting up his Intercontinental Championship. And Stephen, I'll let you take it from there.
Well, you know, he's going to they're going to put up the title at Elimination Chamber. That's another thing we have to talk about. They've decided to first of all, he dropped the strap on his own. He you know, basically just left it for someone else to win, which tells me his MRI came back really bad. Monday was kind of weird. PW Insider reported that he was going to be at the pay-per-view, which I thought was really strange. And I thought, well, gee, I guess I was wrong. And then sure enough, Raw came in the air and he, you know, cut one of his best promos I've ever seen him do. It seemed very, very real. It's been a heavily, heavily guarded secret, whatever it is that's going on with this injury. I know in my heart that he would never do this, and they would never have him drop a belt without actually losing, unless it was the same injury that he had last year. If you look at the last 15 months of Daniel Bryan since he won the title at WrestleMania in 2014, that great WrestleMania where he had that tremendous match with Triple H and then won the belt in the main event, he has not wrestled very much in 15 months. And 15 months is a long time for a wrestler to not be in action. And it's almost ironic that this is the ultimate wrestler, you know, in the modern era, the ultimate wrestler, the guy that gives everything he has, and he can't seem to wrestle. They already seem to have talks of, you know, what they need to do. First of all, you know, I was listening to Woo Nation with Ric Flair, which is a tremendous podcast. Everyone should check it out. He's already had a great interview with Kurt Angle, and he had just listened to one he did with Dave Meltzer. And even Meltzer was very frustrated with not knowing exactly what was going on. You know, they have an autobiography out. They have a DVD ready to go. They had big plans for house show plans more than anything to draw house shows as Intercontinental Champion. TV shows, specials, all this stuff, merch based around Daniel Bryan. And they wanted anything but to get an MRI back that he couldn't wrestle. So the fact that they're doing this tells me that whatever weird injury he got where he had to drop the title without losing it last year, the world title, it's never really gotten better, or he re-aggravated it. And if I had to guess, it was in that silly 4-minute long TV match with Luke Harper from like March or February, where he got dropped in his head with, I think it was a half German, half released dragon suplex or something like that. I think if he does come back, his style will be heavily altered. And, you know, he may not really ever come back full time at all. And it's actually really sad for him, because this guy's given everything to the company that he possibly could. But, you know, he should have altered his style when he had the chance. You know, I feel like he should have just he at first came back. He kind of calmed down the style. You know, he was supposed to job to Wade Barrett. I'm sorry. He was supposed to job to Bray Wyatt originally at Royal Rumble, which would set up Wyatt stronger for Undertaker. you know, and people thought, well, I can't believe they're deep pushing him so far. He's the uncrowned champion. I mean, they knew he was still probably in harm's way to some degree, and they had to book him that direction and put him at least on the what is really the third title now below the TV title, which is kind of interesting if you think about it. You know, they've made the TV title much more important than anything, almost the world title to this point. But Daniel Bryan.
You're talking about the U.S. title.
Right. The U.S. title is more. US title. Did I say TV? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the TV title. Well, in all actuality, if, you know, wrestling historians that are out there, the TV title is the title that's defended on TV every single week.
That's correct. Yeah. The U.S. title has a great long lineage, by the way, that goes back to some really great NWA and WCW matches. But yes, John Cena has made that title much more important than anything, and which is awesome. And anyway, the Intercontinental title is kind of the third string title. So I think they felt safe doing that. And lo and behold, here we are. And he basically can just come out and cut a promo. He is going to be one of the judges on Tough Enough, which they've also announced will be with Chris Jericho, which was kind of a rumor going around. So they're basically at this point just trying to find anywhere to fit him in, to keep him in their programming, because he is an extremely likable character. He's very well liked in the back. And man, just really sad. And I fully expect Al John to see Neville, who got sort of a what I would call a visual pinfall on John Cena. He didn't actually pin him because Rusev interfered. I now fully expect them to go with Neville as his replacement, the same way he replaced him when we were joking about a babyface of equal or lesser value for a match that doesn't take place at a card. I think he will take his place with a run with the strap, or he will take on the heel that has the strap. You know, so very sad situation for Brian. I hate to say I told you so, but I think we both sensed that something was wrong. You know, the reason I kept joking around and saying, who's that, whenever you bring up Daniel Bryan, is because that's how they were treating him on the show. That was what I was joking about. They never mentioned him. They never showed a picture of him hardly. They wouldn't say anything. And that to me was so odd. I knew that something was terribly wrong. And
right, exactly.
Yeah, so it's pretty bad deal. After the great John Cena Neville match, Neville continues to impress me. Al John, I need to ask you something about Neville though, and I think I figured it out.
Is it the hair?
No, it's not.
Okay, is it the ears?
It's the ears.
Okay.
Okay, it's the ears. I thought it was the hair. I was looking at him closely. It's his huge Dumbo elephant ears. And that's going to be...
Dumbo could fly. I mean, Dumbo is the animal that gravity forgot.
He's flying around the ring like an elephant.
Okay. You could laugh it up. You could laugh it up.
I'm just trying to figure out why I'm not loving him. You know, because normally I would just fall in love with a character like this.
Should fall in love with him. What you don't know is, Steven, since I am the Disney fan,
certainly here,
you know, my wife and I are huge Disney fans. We have Disney podcasts, we do all this other shit, and
you are fans.
You know what you don't know is that tucked in Neville's gauntlets are magical feathers given to him by Timothy Mouse.
That's,
you know, he's like, hey Neville, why don't you take this magical feather? You can fly. Oh, yeah, I can believe I can fly. And so he flies. He is the man that gravity forgot. And therefore, he is the Dumbo of the WWE. He is the Dumbo character.
He's got gauntlets. He's got
freak a damn cape.
Ear. He's got a cape. He's got freak ears. And he's got glam rock hair. He's got a kind of weird looking juiced up frame. And I'm sorry. But, I mean, it just don't cut it for me to do a bunch of impactful moves, you know. Rey Mysterio did all that stuff, too, but he had a cool mask. He had cool tattoo. I don't know.
I like Neville. Fine. I think you're being too hard on the beeve there, Wally.
Hey, I'm trying to like the bastard. I just got Dumbo ears.
No, I figured that's what it is. It's you're right. I mean, it's a strange thing when you see this guy walk down the ramp and he's cut. I mean, he is cut like no other, man. That guy is chiseled. You know, he's like Chris Masters without the six and a half foot frame. I don't know.
How tall is he?
I have to look at my wrestling wiki to find out, because I don't think he's very tall at all.
I think he's 5'5" or 5'6", right?
I think he's a short dude. I think he's a small fry.
Okay. Now look, Daniel Bryan, I'm sorry. I'm going to get flagged for that. And my wife is very disappointed in me right now. She feels like, hey, hold on. Hey, I'm the heel, remember? I'm the heel on the show. Okay. I'm just talking to her. Look, I wish the guy all the best. I think he can really be something, but they really do need to change his look. What works in NXT does not exactly work on the main show because the crowd's different. Now, look, the crowd's reacting to him great. You know, the red arrows. Yeah. Huh? The red arrows. Yeah, he's got tons of cool shit. He needs to change his matchup a little. It's getting, like I said, very repetitive.
And that's you know what? And that's the worst part about the world that we live in right now is that you feel it's repetitive. I actually don't. I don't feel it's repetitive, but I can see where you would think that because of all the hours and hours of wrestling programming that we've had over the years over the week. So Neville is billed at wrestling 5'9" at 194 pounds from Newcastle, England. Neville.
Well, I bet he's 5'7" then if they bill him as 5'9".
That's right. They always inflate by a couple inches.
Yeah. Hi-yo. Hey-yo. But they really do inflate by a couple inches. They used to say Hulk Hogan. They used to say Hulk Hogan was 6'9". I mean, I've heard he's about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, you know, just like Kevin Nash. I mean, you know, I stood next to Kevin Nash and it's like, really?
That's he's 7 Kevin Nash? Feet tall, right?
He is so not 7 foot tall.
He's 7 feet tall, bro.
Legit, he's not 7 foot tall.
Kevin Nash is the one that says, hey, this is a work, you know, so this is a work. He can say he's 7 feet tall and watch old Macho Man Randy Savage matches. You know what he always does? Always standing
on his tippy toes.
Tippy toes. Yep. Tippy toes, just like when you see a cute gal wearing heels, you go, well, this gal's a half foot taller than I remember her being. Well, that's what Macho Man would do. And there's always a way to do this. And Neville will become greater and greater. I just don't want him to fall into the same trap as Daniel Bryan, feeling he has to do these maneuvers, hurting himself. Now, look, he doesn't work a strong style so much like Bryan did. And I think that may have something to do with his injury. But still, anyway, after all this awful talk about him, I have a lot of confidence in the guy. I think 5 years from now, he won't look anything like he does now. I'll tell you that. And he needs to cut a promo one of these days, you know.
He does. He'll probably do a promo in a box first, I would think.
In a box?
Yeah. You know, they brought back the promo in a box. You know, they come to the ring. It's like, now into the ring, Jobber A and Jobber B. Hey, you guys, I'm Jobber A and Jobber B. This is why you should like me. So cheer me while I get my ass kicked in the next segment. Or, as Booker T says, part two of this matchup.
Oh, I am so glad you brought up crazy as fuck Booker T. Booker T said something so crazy. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think, was it the Dean Ambrose match, I think? Dean Ambrose is fighting J&J Brown Security, and he's in his hometown, and he's beating the shit out of him, and he pins him clean, okay, in a handicap match, and make Ambrose look really good, which is a really great thing they're doing lately. He pins him with his DDT 1-2-3, and Booker T says, and Dean Ambrose has won the world title. What the hell was that? There's the champ. He goes, there's the champ. There's the champ. Like, I didn't really understand what he meant. And then one of them said, you know, I forget which wrestlers are talking about. They said, you know, and he believes in aliens, you know. And he goes, well, I believe in aliens too. And he kind of made a point of pointing out that he believed in aliens. And I'm just thinking, just like, I don't understand where he's going with any of this stuff. He's so crazy. He's actually becoming interesting just to listen to hear him mess up.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, something's got to be done to make it an interesting broadcast. I mean, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm okay with crazy Booker T. Be crazy Booker T, Booker T.
Yeah, you'd
be crazy. It's like last week. It's like, you know, you know, what would happen if I copyrighted the Booker T over Mr. T? I think John Layfield had said something like that on commentary over the past week or two. And he said, well, you know, I'd win, you know, because I'm Booker T.
He'd win the copyright lawsuit? He'd win
the copyright lawsuit. Oh, no, it was about the Ms. Dow versus Ms. Gimmick.
Oh, right, right, right.
Bradshaw had commented something like, well, it's like Mr. T. If you were, you know, with Mr. T against the T gimmick, would you just be called T?
Well,
or Mr. You know, I don't know. if Mr. T lost a T, it'd just be called Mr.
I don't know if anyone remembers this, but in the dark days of WCW when the ratings were plummeting, they did a match for the letter T where it was Booker T versus right. Big T, which was Ahmed Johnson, who had gained approximately 100 pounds. And that really is no exaggeration.
That's true.
Second Ahmed Johnson reference I've made so far. Yes. God, what a terrible a battle over the letter T.
Well, I think that may be a sly reference to that very obscure angle. The fact that you would bring that up is hilarious.
Bradshaw is pretty good for that type of stuff. I know a lot of people hate Bradshaw. I feel like him when I'm watching, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? You know, that seems to usually be his reaction.
Oh, yeah. You know, listening to JBL and Cole is great because the two of them do have a chemistry. Adding Booker T as the X factor of that announced team is just botchamania gold night after night after fucking night. It's just brilliant. And I love it.
Yeah, it's botchamania crazy. Everything they're doing on that show is basically botchamania ready as well. You know, any comment they make and yeah, well, anyway, Raw was fine. Triple H came back, you know, he hoo-ha, you know, big deal. You know, if you want to pop a rating up, you know, the ratings go up when Triple H and Stephanie are on, and sure enough, the ratings were a little higher the first 2 hours, and they plummeted for the third hour, which is fine because that hour sucked.
Yeah.
You know, they really, they really kind of went nowhere after that. They had a very bland Orton Rollins match again. They went a good 15 minutes long, and you know, Reigns didn't look so good with the crowd. They seemed to be kind of not so into him. They're setting up this sort of awkward Ryback Bray Wyatt match that, you know, I'm not really understanding.
No one really is. It seems to be into it.
You know, they seem to try to do the same thing they did with The Undertaker and Wyatt, where Wyatt just cuts promos and they'll have this match. And I don't know, not a lot of steam to that. If they're planning on putting Wyatt back with his so-called brothers and having the Wyatt family again and then adding, Bo Leave, you know, that would be fine. And maybe add a fifth member, make him a real evil, mystical kind of heel stable. That I would be fine with that.
I think that's where they're going.
Well, that's good if they do.
You know, and they didn't really delve into the fact that the Wyatt brothers, you know, were getting back together. It just kind of happened. And it's like, okay, weren't you just a face like literally the week before?
I know. Hey, they completely fucked that up, breaking them up. You know, the Shield, they broke up and had dazzling results. Rollins is a champion. Reigns is had three incredible main events, which is I never would have predicted a year ago that he could have done that. And Dean Ambrose has been the real bright spot. He's really taken off as a babyface, where I thought he'd be a heel no matter what. He really has taken off. And he's got a lot of heat right now. He's had a lot of positive momentum, good push and victories. But aside from that, the Wyatts really went nowhere. Bray Wyatt did have a main event with Undertaker, if you want to call it a main event. I mean, it really was not a main event, you know, at WrestleMania. So they need to put those boys back together. And, you know, Al John, this pay-per-view they have coming up, you know, and it was really odd of them to do pay-per-views 3 days apart. You know, I'm really surprised they did it that fast. Yeah. But it literally feels like they're 3 days apart, and it basically feels like the same exact pay-per-view. The Bray Wyatt Ryback match, which they didn't add until SmackDown on Tuesday, or the Tuesday night tapings Wednesday show, or Thursday, whenever the hell they have SmackDown. I just watched it on DVR, kids. But, you know, they didn't set that up until the last minute. Everything else seems to be a reflection of that, you know?
Yeah.
Cena, Rusev for the 15th time. Orton's basically battling Rollins. If you count TV matches, I swear it's the fifth or sixth match with those two that's been some sort of main event, whether it be a show-ending main event on Raw or a match at WrestleMania or the main event of the last pay-per-view or this one. It's getting pretty repetitive. And, you know, all I can say is that they have to go a fun new direction after this because they've completely exhausted their WrestleMania feuds And, you know, June we'll have a pay-per-view after Elimination Chamber. And then by July, we'll finally see Lesnar start coming back and we can all be happy again. But yeah, we're about halfway through this rough patch here. It seems like we are in the thick of it all. We are in the thick of the darkness here with the show, and their ratings are still the lowest they've been since the dreaded early 1997 levels. Yeah. I don't know if they'll ever get that low. You know, that was right before the resurgence and boom of Steve Austin, the mega push that changed everything, and it really did. No matter what anyone says, it wasn't the NWO, it was Austin. And they need to do something before it gets to a level that they can't control. So,
well, I think you're right. I think one of those things regarding TV ratings is that people neglect to take in consideration DVR numbers. These are right. All live reported numbers, and the plus three numbers. And this was an interesting conversation. It's stuff that I follow because I used to be on the radio, so I would follow our Arbitron ratings a lot.
Right.
And what they don't, you know, radio is still done in an old fashioned way. But having said that, you know, you can't DVR radio, really. I mean, really, you can't.
Right.
So at least traditional radio. So in this case, I would imagine during this time when ratings are softer, what they don't take in consideration is their DVR numbers, which you have to watch within a certain time in order for them to count for something.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes.
Just to let you know,
I believe they call it, and Dixie Carter had said this on her two-part interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin over the past week on his podcast, but they're called plus threes.
Really?
And you have to see a show within the next 2-3 days and then within the next 5 days for them to count something. And,
wow.
And they don't, you know, for a show like Raw, which is live, they live and die by that. But for a show like, you know, for TNA Impact, they don't, they have to, you know, they count that the DVR numbers as something very substantial.
Well, it's funny you mentioned TNA because, you know, their ratings last week were about 330,000. You know, that's such a low number. You know, if you think back to when the war started between them, when they tried to start their Monday Night War, you know, they were getting closer to maybe having 2 million people watching, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were actively getting 1.5 million. Then they dropped to 1.2, 1.1, 1 million, 900,000. They switched networks and went down to 504. Now they're in the 300,000s. I mean, they're really falling off the map here over there. And
according to their normal rating, not necessarily by their, you know, with the DVR count.
Man, I mean, we're talking about such a drop from shift in networks, and that network they're on is bizarre. You know, I was going to watch TNA Impact tonight live. I, of course, fell asleep during it, which is fine. live
from Orlando.
Live meaning as it was as was on my TV, not DVR'd.
Now, and, not like last week. Last week had a live show,
right? Which didn't matter.
Oh, I like the show. I like the live show.
No. I mean, it didn't matter for ratings.
Oh no, it didn't. It sure as hell didn't.
But right before the show started, the 5 minutes before, I flipped on this channel, Destination America. I've never heard anything about. In my damn life, I thought it was like a travel channel or something. And I saw what appeared to be some rednecks with beards in Pennsylvania claiming they had found a map that Bigfoot had drawn. And moments later, Impact started. They'd found a fire he had built. The fire was still going. I'm like, what the hell is this show? Like, look, it's Bigfoot. Look, these are the lakes here, and he's drawn this map. It's like, what is this show? And then, you know, Impact comes on. And this same bizarre network has decided now, and this was just announced, that they're going to switch to Wednesday night to show Impact.
Love that.
So just fluky, it's a better idea, but Friday's a terrible night. But I'm thinking Destination America has a lot of power in this situation, which concerns me. They're not going to have a live show on Memorial Day weekend, which is, what is that, the 22nd?
Yeah.
The Friday, that's going to be Slammiversary replayed. They said that people don't watch on Memorial weekend or whatever. And I don't know, man. It's really some strange things happening. They finally paid their crew. from January, February on, I believe it was May 8th. The only positive thing they have going is, you know, Billy Corgan is getting some sort of press. And
I was in Rolling Stone magazine this past week, for Christ's sake.
Well, I mean, but Billy Corgan's in Rolling Stone because he's in he's the seminal alternative band, the Smashing Pumpkins, that sold millions of records in the early to mid 90s. You know, so Rolling Stone's going to cover him. I get it that he gets them some press, but man, this is just more odd behavior. You know, Eric Young is really being the center, the focal point of the show now. He is a lot better than some of the other gentlemen on the show. I know one day you reeled off some of the people and asked me who I liked, and I really didn't like anybody. You know, I liked the American Wolves, the Hardys, well, one of the Hardys. And I won't reveal which one.
Oh, I know which one. Hey, you know, I'm like you. Oh, you know who I do like? I mean, I like Angle. Angle's great.
And that's the other guy I like.
And I actually like the Knockouts. I said this all the time. I'm a big fan of Diva Wrestling. I like it. But seeing Awesome Kong on there team up with Gail Kim, something I didn't think would happen, and the mm-hmm. beautiful people kind of having their little, you know, their spat and their, you know, their whole angle that they have against each other now is, for me, it's good. Like, I've always been a fan of their female wrestlers. So
they've always garnered better ratings than other people in their quarter hours too. And Gail Kim is very underrated, and Awesome Kong, it's a shame she didn't get her shot that she was about to start getting in WWE, because she's so amazingly awesome. She was awesome in Japan. She was awesome in TNA. She could have been awesome for Vince and Triple H, but
well, hold on now. My understanding when it comes to Awesome Kong, aka Karma, is that when she got pregnant, her claws allowed her to come back, but it was her that opted not to come back to WWE. She opted to go back to TNA.
Well, they probably
from what I understand from her.
I know that I don't know what to think, but I will say that, you know, she didn't think she was going to be able to get pregnant, and she did.
Right.
So it was very important to her to leave, and I completely understand that.
Everybody was, yeah.
So that's totally cool. But yeah, they could have really used her at some point. But, you know, they have a lot of divas on deck now ready to come up from NXT, and, you know, the best diva of all time, Stephanie McMahon's there, and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? TNA, you know, wish them luck. Wish them luck, or Impact, whatever they're called. wish them luck. You know, Kurt Angle, I love Kurt Angle. I love listening to his interview with Ric Flair on Woo Nation. I don't know why I keep plugging that. but it really is my new favorite wrestling-oriented podcast besides our own.
Nice.
but that really is true. And
a mark, you know, for his own show.
Mark for myself. You know, somebody has to be a mark for me.
Yeah.
but
I'm a mark for you.
Thanks, buddy.
I want to hang out by your gimmick table and stalk your ass outside of the building.
Yeah, buy my stuff.
That just sounded weird.
That sounded weird. It was that Roman Reigns stuff. Said a couple
crap. Well, listen to last week's episode if you want background on that.
Well, you know, I was just saying that, you know, I'm just waiting. Now, check this out about Roman Reigns, okay? What if he starts wrestling without a shirt?
Well, damn.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that pop a rating?
Starts wrestling without a shirt, man. I mean, you know, you're going to have to, you know, I don't know.
I might have to retire. Hey, why does he still wear that bodyguard gear, by the way? I never understood that.
They just haven't found the right, you know, he's still coming out to the Shield music, so he's the last remnant of the Shield.
Well, he's the one that needed the most freshening up if you're going to push him in that position, you know.
Well, he's the one that kicked the outfit, so.
Very odd. I just envisioned Ambrose in that role all along, staying a heel, staying with the music, keeping the music, and having the same kind of bulletproof vest, whatever that thing is on.
It could have been his tactical vest. You know, it could have gone that way, but it didn't, and that's okay. I like Ambrose's gimmick.
Ambrose is awesome, man. Ambrose is
a million bucks. You know, we were all over the place in this show today, and I apologize. I usually have a rain on Mr. Stephen Anthony. As he goes over Raw. So just screw a bunch of the Raw report. TNA, yeah, okay, that's fine. TNA is good. I guess what I should have done at the beginning of the show is simply laid out our thesis statement for tonight. You see, now there's another $10 million word for you wrestling historians out there. So typically you will lay the fishbone out, as it were, as I was calling the match in the ring, and then Steven decided to put an audible and then throw me onto the floor. And I'm like, what the hell, Steven? What the hell did you do? You threw me onto the floor. That wasn't part of the damn match. And then he's sitting there getting heat, and I'm sitting there just like going, what the hell do I do now? You know,
so. life is a war.
Okay, so, and I also apologize at the fact that my allergies are back. Holy smokes, I'm like muting my microphone every 5 seconds. So
you sound great. That's why I'm taking up so much slack tonight. I know I need to take up slack while you mute the microphone for the Mucinex.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'm actually testing out a new microphone, so I hope I sound better this time out.
You sound wonderful.
Oh, good. You see, I knew you were a mark for me. I knew it.
I knew it.
So let's go ahead then and do the, shall we just go ahead and do the pay-per-view payback predictions?
Which pay-per-view? There are 15.
There are 15 planned? Okay. So we're just going to do the payback pay-per-view matches.
Okay.
So we've got Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I expect them to have a good match. You know, it's odd. This would be the time to have the gimmick match. You know what I mean? Now's when you have the gimmick match after Sheamus roughs him up, and then you have a gimmick match, and then Dolph Ziggler beats him, but then he forces him to kiss his ass, and then you have the rubber match, the third match, and decide who's going to go over and who's going to go down. So I'm completely confused. So being that the booking logic is opposite, I will say that Sheamus wins clean.
Okay. Well, how about that?
Opposite booking here. I mean, they're really all over the place with their booking.
That's right. Well, they are.
What do you think? What do you think on that one?
I think the push is going to be for Sheamus to go over. I don't know if it's going to be clean.
Was Dolph wearing eyeliner? Did I see that?
You did mention that, yes.
Well, okay. I don't know.
I don't know what it is, because I feel that, you know, Dolph's entrance music, he comes in doing his little entrance music. Yes, he's trying to be like this cool alternative punk thing. He's wearing the patches on the jacket that's all torn up, and you know, he's wearing the guy liner. I don't understand it. I think he's trying to freshen his character up somehow, because it may have stalled, you know. Maybe it's getting a little stale. I don't know.
It certainly has. I mean, Adam Rose does that little thing better than him anyway.
Oh, I mean, Adam Rose is a damn pirate, for Christ's sake. So,
well, they can wear eyeliner without repercussions.
Oh, that's true. That's
and I'm
true.
Not sure why.
Well, because he's British.
I don't think he is.
No, I don't think he is either.
Well, he's from South Africa in real life, that is. But, of course, his character is from, where is it, Newcastle, England? Doesn't he live across the street from
Wade Barrett?
No, to Neville. Like, him and Neville and Barrett live like in the same triumvirate of towns or something?
Yeah, King something Barrett, like that. You're right. Say. Yes. Well, hey, that brings me to the next match. Neville versus King Barrett.
Well, I'm going to say old Dumbo Ears wins this one. Sorry. I'm very sorry.
No, you're not. It's pretty obvious. I mean, the guy, you can't hide it, you know.
I think he needs a big win. Okay, here's what I really think. Okay, I'll take off the black glove. I feel like they've put over King Barrett quite a bit. Now, if you want to have an IC title feud and you're not going to have Ambrose in it, it would be Barrett against Neville. If they're going to have Ambrose job, which they may most likely will, and insert him in, I think the real guy to carry the IC belt is actually, I know you're like, where are you going with this? But they deal directly with the IC title to me, Neville and Barrett, because they're the only two guys besides Ambrose that can really hold that belt and probably have some really good house show matches, because they still really are big on their house shows. So whichever direction they go here will directly relate to that, which will directly relate to whoever wins IC belt at the Elimination Chamber. I think Neville needs the win, but... And he's, you know, ever since it looked like Brian was going to be hurt, Neville's been winning. Neville's been getting pushed. So let's say Neville goes over with the The Red Dragon of Fear, the Red Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
He wins it. But I expect this to actually be a good match. And I think Ziggler Sheamus will be a good match. So I have high hopes for both of these matches. If they give these guys 10 or 12 minutes, both of these matches, they will be very good because these guys can perform. It's not so much the performance level of the guys like Barrett or Neville or anybody like that. It's how much time will they give them and how will they book them? Because you can make someone look like Ziggler look very silly if you put him in a 3.5 minute match and he can't do anything. And you know what I mean? You know, it's really up to them.
So here's my little gripe about this. I believe Neville, as much as I want Neville to win, because I think he would be what's best for business. Personally, I think Barrett's going to win because he's the king and he's going to, you know, he's going to eventually lead into a really good feud with Neville, you know. Here's my two cents regarding Neville. His finisher is called the Red Arrow.
Right.
What is his color of gear he's wearing?
Not red.
Okay. There is no red in the goddamn entrance. There's no red in his ring gear. It's freaking purple. His entrance is hugely blue. What the fuck, WWE?
I don't know. It's like NXT plus WWE put together or some kind of thing with him. Somebody really loves him. People love him backstage and people don't. That's what I can tell. And
it's strange. It's really strange. It's like nothing makes sense. It's like you've got the damn – his finisher is called the Red Arrow. You know, and it's not hard to do a heads up display of Neville with a yellow and red scheme, very much like Iron Man, which you tried to do, you know, in his ring entrance. But yet you made it all blue and green hues. And then you set him out there and he's wearing this purple outfit with a damn purple cape. And his finisher's called the Red Arrow.
With glamrock hair and those ears and a cape. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and then gauntlets. I mean, he should just, you know, play bass for a band that opens for Manowar.
He might as well.
Quite literally, he looks like that.
He does. Yeah, check out the front cover. Manowar. You can buy it on our Amazon link. Go ahead and do it.
Oh, please buy Manowar. Kings of Metal. Please.
Kings of Metal. New Day versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro in a best of three falls match for the WWE Championship. Consistently delivers on a weekly basis for me. I love watching these guys wrestle.
Yep. This will steal the show again. It already stole the show. Now they're guaranteeing us they're going to give them more time, which is the only reason I wasn't, to me, the best match on the last show. It kind of was, but they only had, I think they gave them 9 minutes. This time they'll maybe give them 15 or 20. I mean, Christ, 2 out of 3 falls, you got to do something. I expect New Day to retain because they're going to have again another pay-per-view about 2 weeks after this one. So New Day has to kind of retain, if you think about it, to get to that match, because boy, the New Day's just really hot as champs right now. You know, I can see Cesaro and Kidd taking the titles because they're great champions and maybe they need the heat a little bit of having the titles. But no matter what happens, this is a third great match. You know, it's funny, we're talking about the pay-per-view now in depth and I'm realizing it's actually going to be really pretty good, especially the undercard at least.
Yeah. Well, as we talked about last week, it's a sea of mid-carders, and the mid-carders really are proving why they are needed. You know, they deliver and they're just keeping us interested into the show. How about the I believe New Day are going to keep the titles.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. Go ahead.
I think they're awesome. I love Xavier Woods. If you see the E60 special, any of you out there, he's so cool in real life, an incredibly bright, well-educated man who's one of their favorites in the backstage area. You can tell when you watch the E60 special. Xavier Woods, I've been, you know, bragging on him the last few weeks. He has really made this New Day thing click. He really gets it. He's very smart. He knows how to work the crowd. He's great.
And also, but we'll talk a little bit about your review on the ESPN special, but I have to say this really quick. I was a fan of him when he was Consequences Creed?
Right, Consequences Creed.
In TNA. Man, what a great character. Awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome, man. You know, TNA had so many great workers the past 10 years. to look back at. And maybe that's what I do at TNA, not to get off track a little bit, as I think back to all those days that we'd see these incredible X Division matches and all these great wrestlers run in and out of the Federation, you know, and Federation of,
wow.
Yeah. The Federation yeah. title. I'm Jack Tunney.
Jack Tunney, yeah. The commissioner,
right.
The president, whatever the hell Jack Tunney was. Figurehead. Right. How about this? We have Curtis Axel versus Macho Mandow.
Oh, wow.
Versus, hold on a second.
Sure.
They're a tag team, okay?
Right.
Versus the Ascension in the kickoff show.
I just don't seem to care. The Ascension are, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the worst things they've come up with in quite a while.
It looks so
horrible. I wish, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but if someone were to be able to come back from the dead, it would be Mike Hegstrom to reform the Road Warriors and beat these two Ascension members silly.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault, sure.
It's not their fault. I don't think it's their fault. I mean,
it's not, but look what they're dressing them up like.
I know.
Jesus Christ. Just send them back to NXT and start over. I'm sorry, but they, you know, this is what they do to guys that are good. They give them something stupid.
Give us the Vaudevillains instead. We'll take them.
Right. Give them anything.
Give them anything.
Make them clown wrestlers like Doink. I mean, but it's just not working. And, you know, Curtis Axel and Macho.
Mizdow.
He doesn't imitate the Macho Man good enough.
Well, here's the funny thing about that whole situation. They are now called, okay, the Meta Powers.
Okay, that's funny.
It's funny. Check out WWE.com. They have this thing where they're trying to shake hands. It's just a really funny piece of business there.
They were trying to redo the handshake that Macho Man and Hogan did on Saturday night's main event.
That's right.
Which was an epic moment, which was totally awesome, done by two incredibly charismatic performers. You know, you have to at least get close to that level of charisma to do an imitation right. You know, sorry. I don't know. I told you they didn't know what to do with Sandow 2 months ago. They still don't know what to do with Sandow. They blew it.
They're blowing it. They totally. You know,
the best thing I can say about Curtis Axel is that his dad had an hour-long match with Nick Bockwinkel in Las Vegas. That's the best thing I can give you on him.
I like it. I like it. We'll see what happens. I mean,
it could not possibly be a good match. How about
no,
that?
No, it's not going to be a good match, but but I like it anyway, because it's damn Sandow. And you know what? I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to be like, you know, it's like me rooting for Zack Ryder. There's okay. really no point in me rooting for Zack Ryder other than the fact that I feel good when I do it. And he probably feels good that I'm like retweeting him or whatever the hell case it is. But
Okay. Here's what I think will happen succinctly. They come out of the meta powers. They get good heat. Somehow they do their imitation. They start off good. They throw them outside of the ring. The Ascension comes in. They start getting heat on Macho Mandow. They get Curtis Axel makes a comeback. He comes in. They start beating him down. Curtis Axel hulks up. Big boot, leg drop. Macho Mandow gives the flying elbow 1, 2, 3.
Amen. And that's the winner. That's what I pick as well.
Five-star match.
Five-star match. It'll probably be 5 seconds, but it'll be a five-star match in five seconds. 5 seconds there, you know. And the Ascension is basically the new two-man band. And they need to join Heath Slater, because Heath Slater could be the only one to make that shit smell any better. Because I buy Heath Slater. I buy Heath Slater. I buy Mandow. I actually buy Axel, Curtis Axel. I buy it all. Those are my favorite mid-carders. Zack Ryder. There you go. I'm the underdog guy. I am cheering for them. I would buy their merch at the merch table.
I wouldn't even call them mid-carders. I would say they're low-carders.
Yeah, they're curtain jerkers.
Yeah, I mean, they're low. I would say Mandow's or whatever the fuck his name is. He's not a mid-carder. He's a mid-carder, but the rest are the rest are curtain jerkers.
Yeah, the rest
quite are curtain jerkers. Quite a match to get me enticed.
Yes.
But yes, five stars, we'll 5 minutes, 5 seconds.
Now, is it me or am I missing something when it comes to the divas on this show?
I thought Tamina, the freshly turned Tamina and Naomi were fighting the Bellas. Am I wrong about that?
Is that going to be on the show itself? Because I hadn't heard, for some reason, I missed I must have missed it. That
they did not announce that. I thought that was announced.
Okay, it was it. Okay,
I don't know. Now I'm all scared I'm wrong. I hate to say something not factual on this show.
Well, I'm actually reading the rundown on my app
from as WWE. Well as,
yeah, from WWE, and I'm looking.
Well, gee, they would know.
I'm standby. Oh, here we go. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're correct.
Okay.
You're right. You're correct. Yeah, I just missed it on the slider.
Okay, good.
Tamina, yeah. It is Nikki Bella and Brie going up against the House of Tamina and Naomi representing the Samoan dynasty.
Tamina gets a pinfall win with some sort of stiff move. I like Tamina's wrestling. I think she's really great.
Yeah, Tamina is going to, I think she's going to do something Superfly-esque.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, which should be pretty awesome.
I like these two, Naomi, Tamina. They're, you know, two mean ass girls, two mean ass girls beating people up. You know,
and by the way, I like her hair. By the way, since we talk about hair
quite a bit
on the show every week, I really like what they did with Tamina's hair. They like gave her like this really cool Grace Jones kind of thing, which is kind of cool.
Uh huh. Yeah. I'm sure everyone will remember Grace Jones. But
okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Look
here. I know who that is. I know.
Look here. All of a sudden I sound like JBL because JBL will pull out some 80s reference that no one knows what the hell he's talking about. So if you so choose, feel free to Google or Bing that, that name and see what pops up.
She's in one of the Conan the Barbarian movies. She's cool.
That's another 80s reference. Okay.
So, hey, Nick Bockwinkel's from the, 2000s. So don't worry.
Oh, there you go. Okay. No. Bray Wyatt versus Feed Me More Payback, Ryback at Payback.
Paybacks really is his name to me. Payback, yeah. I get for watching.
Johnny Payback.
Well, Johnny Payback gets these start-stop pushes every month. It's really extraordinary what they do with this poor bastard. I predict they will do some sort of Wyatt angle, the rejoining perhaps that we were talking about of the Wyatt family. And Ryback takes the loss because at the end of the day, he's a big jacked up jabroni. You know, they started this with CM Punk beating him three straight pay-per-view, or he didn't win the title for three straight pay-per-views, and he got pinned a couple of times here or there. But ever since then, they've kind of kept him at that level. I don't think they have a lot of faith in his mic skills or his wrestling. The crowd likes him, but they don't love him. There's a disconnect past the catchphrases. So I don't see any reason to book him to win this. If they did book him to beat Wyatt, you know, this one actually might be a bullshit DQ match, now that I think about it. But
well, it will be a bullshit DQ match because his brothers are going to come in.
Yeah, something will happen with those old brothers of his. And maybe they'll have Bo come out and say, do you believe you can win this match, Ryback? And then they jump him in and they go, oh, he's my brother, blah, blah, blah. You know, they could do that. It could either be really good or really bad.
Well, do you think Bo Dallas will have to reveal his name as being Bo Wyatt?
Yes.
You see, I've been thinking about that, too.
Well, I think that Bo, you know, the idea is pretty strong, though, that, you know, someone that's sort of this cultic sort of thing, you know, like this cult of Bo Leave, mm-hmm. is the most susceptible to another cult figure because he believes in that sort of thing more than anyone else because he has to make other people believe in him. So I this actually does make sense. And he looks exactly like his frickin' cousin or whatever he is.
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff there. Yeah, I do believe this is going to end up in a schmaz, if you will. Yeah.
Hopefully a good angle there. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. let's see. What else are we missing on the old card here? Oh, yes. How could we forget? Rusev versus John Cena
in the
I Quit match.
Oh, you must be mistaken now, John. That was a match that was on the last pay-per-view and the one before it. They wouldn't do it a fourth time, though.
No, maybe not.
I'm just kidding. They're obviously torturing me. And now we have to have an I Quit match. I think this one's pretty simple. Lana, they would never book Rusev to say I quit. So, you know, so she'll throw in the towel and basically start her babyface turn official. You know, they've been hinting at it. It's becoming more and more, you know, they can't reveal that she's not Russian. I think that would be a mistake. You know, if she loses a lot, huh?
She's going to be a Russian pretty much for the rest of her life, as long as she's named Lana.
I think that they need to keep her as the Russian that we all like. You know, that's the way to make it work. Sort of like a really good looking Nikita Koloff, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
Because that's a reference everyone knows. Everybody, you know Nikita Koloff. You remember he just won the U.S. title. It was just, you know, I think it was just 28 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you know, the funny thing about that whole situation is that, you know, just the other week she was doing the Fandango, right? And looking hot and being awesome and being sent back. And, you know, she's going to be the new Raw general manager, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I feel sorry for that kid that we don't see anymore, but maybe once every quarter, if that fluttering in the background, that poor guy from NXT. What was his name?
The guy the from old, NXT?
The old general manager before the Authority came back. You see, it's been so damn long since we've seen him on TV, and he came out, he wrestled like two matches and then became the general manager, and son of a bitch.
I can't even remember his name.
I don't remember his name anymore. You see how bad that is?
That's pathetic. That's this show is so weird. It's the weirdest show anyone's ever had. I mean, what show has so many different characters and plot movements that never... You know, most shows they'll put on 15 episodes and then they're off air and then they'll rerun them and then they'll wait till the next year. You know, you got to feel for writers. I don't think people get that. You have to feel for writers that have to constantly write for forever. They never can stop, you know. And that's why it's hard to keep this show fresh. But this is essentially the same thing they've been doing since WrestleMania. John Cena against Rusev. Christ. So to me, the feud's over. John Cena's doing fine with the the U.S. title final. Challenge. Weekly U.S. title challenge. See, I did it again.
Yes.
And, you know, he's doing great with that. You know, it was great, the Sami Zayn thing, Neville. You know, he had a really good match. Didn't he have a good match with Stardust recently that was on TV? And he's done a lot of really good with the belt. And I see him staying there. And Rusev, I don't know. You better find another guy. I don't know where Rusev goes from here. That I certainly don't have any faith in them to change a character's direction. That's what they've really been poor at. As of late, you know, they have a character that works. They're scared to death to do anything to change it. They don't know how to change it and keep the heat. That seems to be their big, big issue. Seth Rollins has been the same character since he turned heel, for example. Not that that's a big deal because he works, but like Reigns, they needed to change his character in some way to get him more heat. They never did that, you know.
Right.
Sandow couldn't figure out what to do with him. He's fluttering now.
Yeah.
He's lost in the sea, as it were.
He is in the sea. That is for sure.
So Lana throws in the towel, screw job finish, Cena wins again. Yippee.
Let's see here. Last but not least on the card, you know, we're trying to keep our energy up because, you know, that just, you know, a few of these matches once again are just going to, this on paper, if I didn't know any better, this would be a pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
In and of itself. If we hadn't seen the pay-per-views before leading up to this.
Right. You know? Right.
And that's what is crazy about that whole situation. So here we are. The main event, we've got our four-way dance between Mr. Dean Ambrose, the Viper, Randy Orton. We have got here Seth Rollins, the champ, and Roman Reigns with the body armor. And by the way, the name of the assistant to the managing supervisor was Brad Maddox.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. I kept thinking Matt Stryker, and I'm like, don't say Matt Stryker, Steven. Now you know that's not right.
Yeah. Brad freaking Maddox.
Brad Maddox, got it. I thought I saw him a couple of weeks ago for like a split second. You right? did
for a split second.
Oh, well, good. And for
yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
I predict Brad Maddox will win the title. I predict Dean Ambrose gets pinned by Rollins. Okay. You know, I don't want to see Dean Ambrose. I would absolutely love to see Ambrose win the title and then drop it like 2 weeks later. You know, I would not mind that kind of hot shotting kind of bullshit at all. But I think that might pump him to the next level and then he'd be over for good. He'd be over for good. And they wouldn't. I mean, he's got super heat. He doesn't need a belt. But just to say he won the title, because now it's a title. You know, there's not two titles to worry about, which is great. I didn't like the two title thing so much all the time. Now you got one title. Rollins has it. It doesn't look like he's going to lose it until Lesnar comes back. And, you know, and when Lesnar comes back, I cannot wait. They've already built up that match. I can't wait to see Rollins-Lesnar. But, you know, Rollins is not getting a lot of wins at all. He's taken not a substantial amount of pinfall losses, but he's certainly taken three or four that I can remember on TV. Orton is more over than he's ever been, and Reigns is still kind of fluttering in his position too. So it's not time to deal with Reigns. Orton doesn't need the title. Rollins probably should retain. If the only thing I could possibly see is Ambrose wins on a fluke and loses it 2 weeks later at Elimination Chamber. But it should be a pretty damn good match, a lot better than the last main event was, which was a bit disappointing for me.
Yeah, I think Ambrose is going to get pinned, but he's going to get pinned in a way that protects him, you know? So he's going to get screwed somehow. Someone's going to do a finisher, and the snake is going to crawl back into the ring from being thrown out, and
Jake the snake's going to be there.
Jake the snake is going to be there. And so is Damian. Damian is going to get the win.
Oh, finally.
Damian for the win. The DDT is restored.
Jake will slither into the ring with his greasy frame and cost him the match. But I see Orton slithering into the ring and probably RKOing Ambrose, and Rollins gets the win by fluke.
I think that's exactly what I was leading up to. Yes. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And bam, there you go. There is the show Payback. It'll be an interesting one to see. It is a fully loaded card, to say the least. Let's see if they really do, in fact, give Divas a chance. It's going to be a physical. It's going to be a physical show, just from the looks of the players that are involved. What match do you? You said the tag match is going to be your match of the night.
No doubt in my mind, the tag match will take the night, unless they have a really killer main event, which is possible. They always, you know, they rise no matter what we say about this dumb fucking wrestling show. They always rise to the occasion in the main event. They have too many smart minds to fuck up the main event. So it'll be either the main event or the tag match, just like last pay-per-view. On paper, it could be a much better pay-per-view than Extreme Rules. Let's hope so.
I believe it will be. It's got to be better than Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules didn't live up to the hype. I think that time for the Extreme Rules name is gone. If they're going to go back to other things that have worked, let's revisit another name, because Extreme Rules was horrible. I take that back. Extreme Rules was passable. I think I said it was a passable show, and I did enjoy it, except for a couple matches. But the fact that you didn't get ultra violent and you didn't see that type of violence, aggression, from a lot of the players involved, it wasn't a buy for me. So
I didn't expect to see Terry Funk fall on a bomb, but I certainly would have liked a little bit more from Extreme Rules. So yeah, you're right. Just drop the concept. It's fine. Call it Armageddon or Judgment Day or whatever. Fully Loaded Part Two, whatever you want to call it.
No Way Out.
No Way. That was a good. Those are always really good. No Way Outs. I used to like that one a lot.
In your house.
And let me say something else real quick, since we're talking about the product. When I went to McKay's DVD store the other day, I found quite a few pay-per-views for like $3 on DVD. And I said, hey, why the hell not? And one of them was Armageddon 2003. This would have been the pay-per-view where Triple H won the title back from Goldberg. You remember when Goldberg had the belt for about 6 months or three or 4 months?
Of course.
This pay-per-view, their product was so poor back then compared to now. I just wanted to say that they have so much more talent now than they had 10 years ago. They have the right people on top. They have better matches. You know, things were pretty rough in 2003 and 2004. I don't think we really remember how much they were struggling to go from the Attitude Era to whatever we have
ruthless
now.
Aggression.
You know, if you want to call it that, but you know, it was just really funny to watch it. They just had a real lack of people in the show. We're talking about Sheamus, Ziggler, Neville, Barrett, Cena, Lana, Ambrose, Rollins, all these people. You know, they did not have many people 10 years ago. So they've actually done a tremendous job getting a lot better. No matter what the TV ratings say, no matter what they're doing with this network, they do have a much better product than they've had in the past. And they've done a good job of bringing in new people. They really have. Sami Zayn, Neville, you know, Daniel Bryan, you can even put in that list. All these guys are over now. you know, and it's great.
By the way, I did rewatch the Sami Zayn match from last week.
Right.
And it was not bad. I mean,
good match.
It was unpredictable. Like I was like, what's going on here? There's a weird, you know, there's a fun weird match. Vibe, but once again, not bad for improving on the fact that he was injured. So
improving is when really fun things happen. I will say when he goes up the ramp, he tells the referee that sucked.
Yeah.
So he thought he did a bad job, but he did not do a bad job. I know he did El Generico matches that were 35 minutes long with Japanese dudes and all that. And this wasn't that, but he did a fine job out there. And they weren't bringing him to the main roster right away anyway. It'll be interesting to see if he actually wrestles at the NXT special. But, you know, yeah, you're right. A really, really interesting match.
Indeed. Really interesting. Indeed. So once again, Payback is this Sunday on the WWE Network. Don't miss it. We're going to have some news and commentary regarding that pay-per-view as well as the Monday Night Raw afterwards later on this week. We do have a couple loose ends. You did mention the fact that there was going to be another quote-unquote event on the WWE Network that is pay-per-view style match or pay-per-view style card. Elimination is returning in a couple of weeks. Yes. That was kind of a last-minute thing, was it not?
Well, this, I think they decided this on Monday when they got the MRI and they decided to have Brian cut that promo. I think they were like, oh, Jesus. Well, they were probably toying with the idea. And what they did was they had a Corpus Christi show in Texas that they converted into a pay-per-view in two weeks after Payback. They had a Greenville, South Carolina show that they actually canceled. They made up for it by announcing a Greenville pay-per-view, which is really cool because Greenville, South Carolina is a great wrestling town. Always will be.
Yes.
Always will be. Flair country.
Nation.
Woo! And, you know, so they're going to have two. It's going to be based around two matches. They're going to have a tag team elimination chamber match, which, first of all, makes no sense to me. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Okay, so you got six chambers, so I guess it's a three-way match?
Yeah.
Okay.
They release two doors at the same time or something like that. Ridiculous.
So that's New Day. They haven't announced it yet. So let's say New Day, Kid Cesaro, and who do you put in? Lucha Dragons?
Oh, they could do primetime players for all the stuff they've been doing recently.
I reckon.
Lucha Dragons would make sense because they've been on TV.
They didn't have them on last week, which is interesting.
That's true. They didn't have them on last week. You're right.
And apparently Los Matadors is losing their, what is he, a bull? You got a bull? They got a bull
El Torito.
There.
El Torito. El Torito. Dorito is leaving. Well, they got rid of, they're getting rid of Hornswoggle, so.
You will be okay. From what I hear, they got into Hornswoggle involved. Hornswoggle is going to turn heel, go with the Matadors, and El Torito joins the Lucha Dragons. Merry Christmas.
Wait. Is that legit?
Possibly.
Are you just making this shit up?
Why would I make something up and say it on something that's recorded forever?
Okay. All right. Well, Elimination Chamber. So
hey, look, that may not happen. You know, I've heard that from reliable sources.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Now, when that big Hornswoggle heel turn happens, you'll be flummoxed.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's another great word, by the way. We're full of great words. We're going to just name this show the show about words. That's what we're going to talk
about. Show about words.
The show about words. The okay. So Elimination Chamber coming back. We've got a couple. I guess matches announced. This is going to be a WWE Network exclusive. So
yeah, this is a trick to get people to have their free month roll over into a paid month. And that's cool. You know, that's fine. You know, we're getting a lot of free stuff as subscribers or non-subscribers, whatever we are. So, you know, I kind of see what they're doing here, and that's cool. But at the end of the day, you have to get people to get used to paying for the network, you know, and I don't know if they're setting a bad precedent. And by the way, and then the other Elimination Chamber matches for the Intercontinental title. Now, this match should be a knockout. You know, this, they haven't announced the guys in it, but obviously, you know, we're going to see what Ziggler, Sheamus, Neville, Barrett, maybe Ambrose, and, you know, a lot of the guys we saw. Probably in the latter match from WrestleMania will be in this one, Elimination Chamber style. Of course, there will be no Daniel Bryan. But and that will set the precedent, which feud they're going to do at their house shows and who will be the IC champ. You know, I think King Barrett would be a great IC champ. You know, if they wanted to go that way with Ambrose, I think he's the best choice because he has the right amount of heat to carry that title at house shows as a main eventer. He did a fine job replacing Bryan as a main eventer last fall, by the way. So he could, maybe they'll just do that with him again.
Exactly. Okay. Interesting stuff. Other things we need to just drop on real quick before we ride off into the sunset, as Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin would say.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about this. Do we need to talk about Global Force at all? Do we need to? Do we have time to do that?
Sure. If you want to talk about it, I mean, I don't think
because their roster is kind of interesting.
Sure is.
It's all over the place.
Well, you know, I know they have the Young Bucks, but did they announce them officially?
I don't know if they did or not.
Well, the Young Bucks, you know, I mean, first of all, a lot of Global Force is New Japan. Okay. Yeah. And that right there makes me want to watch the product. Apparently, Jeff Jarrett has been going to minor league baseball games and, you know, as a special guest, and they're going to do these shows in, I believe, minor league baseball stadiums. Have you heard that too?
Yeah, it says Nashville-based Global Force Wrestling. In fact, I've got a little bit of a...
Right, and they'll film it here in Nashville, by the way, from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah. So here's a press release. Oh, for heaven's sake. I love it when I get these stupid pop-ups on my iPhone. Global Force Wrestling... this is recent. Founded by wrestling legend Jeff Jarrett.
Legend?
Yes. He's as quote, "We have slowly but steadily been building toward this day," said Jeff Jarrett, GFW founder and CEO, in a recent press release. "The feedback I've received in my international travels has been off the charts."
Okay.
"Fans are ready to have the reveal of the entire GFW roster, and they're eager for their voices to be heard." So here are the announcements of the roster.
Yes.
Tag team of Machine Gun Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows of the Bullet Club.
Awesome in New Japan. That. Awesome. Totally awesome.
Because we like Luke Gallows, or Doc Gallows, if you will. Davey Boy Smith and Lance Hoyt of the Killer Elite Squad. That's good.
New Japan.
I like, you know, and Lance Hoyt, you know, has been a roster guy on TNA for many years.
I want to understand he got a lot better, too, in the past year.
Okay, how about this? Okay, former WWE superstar Chris the Adonis Mordetsky.
He's excellent.
Yes.
You know, they blew it getting rid of him. They should have kept him around and figured repackaged him in WWE. So I was really excited to see about Chris Masters, formerly known as Chris Masters.
Yeah, Chris Masters is awesome. We like Chris Masters.
Great.
From South Africa, PJ Black, who you know as...
I don't know. Who's PJ Black?
You know, okay. PJ Black is the, he was from NXT. He was in the Nexus. He is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah, yeah. Peter Gabriel.
Yes, Peter Gabriel. Oh, Peter Gabriel. Yes, Peter Gabriel. Michael Gabriel.
Okay, I'm less excited to hear about him.
Yeah,
about
okay, that? Okay. And also, you might remember this gentleman from Ring of Honor, Moose.
Yes. An interesting look.
He's learning. He's learning.
No, he'll be somebody. I guarantee. Yeah. I guarantee it.
He's sloppy, but he's workable. He's
Jesus Christ, Al John. He's huge.
He's huge. He's a moose. Okay.
Well, he really is.
Former NFL. Yes. And then new additions were also put in there as well. And I have to say, this is awesome for me because these are guys that, you know, I've met and I really dig, and they're nice guys. They're from Tennessee as well. The Hotshots, Cassidy Riley and Chase Stevens. Wow. How about
Chase
that?
Stevens, man, from Saw.
From Saw and Showtime All-Star Wrestling. Chase Stevens of The Naturals, formerly TNA. And I tell you, Chase Stevens is such a great dude. Love Chase Stevens. Awesome. Cassidy Riley as well from TNA. TNA did some stuff with TNA, but Cassidy Riley, of course, from Tennessee region wrestling. Awesome stuff. And then there are ladies in the mix as well. Thea Trinidad and Leah De Tapa. So we got some lady wrestlers here.
Now I heard Scott Hall was doing a couple of house shows. I'm dead serious.
What?
Scott Hall has a house show date June 20th, June 21st for Global Force Wrestling.
Holy smokes. I wonder what he could be doing.
Okay. I'm not making that up. Probably. I don't know. Wouldn't they introduce his son Cody? Is Cody on the...
He is not Cody announced as being on the official roster, but...
I don't see Cody here. I see Shelton Benjamin. They got a lot of guys, you know. They could put together a pretty damn good little show. I hear they're going to have a big show and basically do all titles and kind of get going. Anybody else on the roster of pertinent value?
That's the official roster as released 2 days ago.
Yeah, and I think we'll see the Young Bucks too. Like I said, you know, Young Bucks are a little wild. You know, sometimes it's hard to rein them in and get them what you want to do.
Right.
I know the Young Bucks were offered TNA contracts recently, and they turned it down for New Japan, which I think is hilarious. Hey, the Young Bucks are the shit. You know,
No, they're great. They're a great tag team for sure.
I don't care what Booker T says. You know, he's not right all the time. Jeff's a good guy. You know, I don't. Jeff's going to do whatever he can to promote this show and make it happen. You know, he's using a tremendous amount of talent from overseas, which is great. I'm really surprised we haven't seen any Mexican talent because he was so good over in Mexico as a heel when he was the He was a AAA champion while he was with TNA, and he went down to Mexico with Karen, and they had a really good tour down there. So I'm just a little surprised. You know, maybe they consider Lucha Underground maybe, you know, obviously has a lot of those guys wrapped up. You know, and that's maybe the reason, but I'm just really surprised we didn't see any, luchadors on the main roster. Maybe that's the reason, the Lucha Underground connection. Jeff's a good guy. He'll get it going on. He'll figure something out, man. He's tried so hard since WCW closed. What was it? 15 years ago? He's tried so hard to get something happening, you know, and he never has stopped trying. You know,
no, God bless him.
Really?
You know, did he ever actually tell you the reason why he ended up he got bought out of his TNA deal, right?
They didn't want him there. He didn't tell me anything, but I mean, I don't talk to him about things like
that. I was just curious if he's ever said anything.
I think it was just time for him to go. You know, that company moves and grooves in such weird directions. Dixie is definitely in charge of that company. Okay. Yes. No matter what anybody says about her, she's in charge. You know, she kept him there even after everything happened. You know, Jeff went through a pretty rough, I don't even know if I want to get into that.
Okay. Let's not get into that, but
no, Jeff's wife passed away before Karen, and he had a really, really rough time. And I think people need to understand that Jeff Jarrett is not a bad guy about what happened with Kurt Angle. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
That's what I want to say.
Okay.
You know, nobody should judge him on that. You know, that's just life, you know, but in the end, that's just another thing that happened to Jeff in the wrestling realm. That's kind of controversial. The most controversial thing Jeff did is he held up Vince, and that's why this has happened for 15 years. He can never go back. Vince never trusted him. You know, he really did hold him up and say, wire me a 100. I think it was $150,000, and Vince just can't. He got over on Vince. You know what I mean? He actually got over on Vince. He got money wired into his account before he would drop a title. When does that happen to Vince McMahon?
It doesn't ever happen.
You know?
It just doesn't happen. But having said that, I mean, and when you have the balls to pull that kind of move, you kind of know what your future is going to be like from here on out. But also keep in mind the fact that wrestling and being a wrestling promoter has been in his blood. He's a fourth generation dude.
He really is.
I mean, I believe he's a fourth generation dude. And
his dad's wrestling. One of the best promoters ever.
Absolutely. I would love to have Jarrett, Mr. Jeff Jarrett, here on the show just to talk about Global Force, because I think it's intriguing. And the other thing I'll have to say about the roster is that they have they got Brodus Clay in there too, by the way, it looks like, just from the promo pictures. And that's a new promo picture that just went up on their Facebook site.
So they're announcing people as they get them, I think.
It looks like it, yeah. Because he wasn't part of the original press release photo that they released of the roster. But as of 10 hours ago, it looks like they have Brodus Clay, a.k.a. What's his name in TNA? Tyrese?
Tyrese McGillicuddy.
Tyrese McGillicuddy.
I think that'll probably...
Tyrese McGillicuddy. What other name can we slap on this guy? Oh, geez.
The Bomb?
The Bomb. Yeah. Adam Bomb. And Adam Bomb has been signed to GFW Wrestling.
He said you need to put ED at the end of your tattoo. Now that's some good Scott Hall promos.
And that is some good Scott Hall promos. Well, I wish all the best to Global Force in their new endeavor. I think it's great. You have recently caught up with all the Lucha Underground. I think we mentioned that last week. Isn't it just a great show?
Yes, they've now entered into a fantastic little portion of the feud between El Patron and Johnny Mundo, the former, basically, I think they already did the Johnny Nitro, Alberto Del Rio matches on WWE. And now we get to see it where they can really stretch out and do longer matches. They didn't really have a long match this week. They did an angle where Johnny Mundo turned heel, throwing Patron through the glass a la Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels. I'm sure everyone remembers that because everyone listening to this is 37 or 40 years old like me. But
Or like me.
I'm sure everyone remembers that happening in 1992. But no, they really did redo that angle, which was a great angle back with the Rockers. And fantastic, fantastic show. It really is the number two show to me now. I mean, I would say New Japan's the other show I love. But I mean, we're talking about TV shows that play in the USA and every week at least. And, you know, I really hope that we see them continue to do this for a long time. Incidentally, you know, Matt Stryker Vampiro, you know, awesome. The band that plays, awesome. Great energy. The Luchador matches are straight out of AAA and are all awesome. You have King Cuerno, you have Prince Puma, you have their tremendous mask, you have exceptional production value, which is so
that's my favorite part. Yeah, honestly, it's like the way they build the characters and the vignettes for the wrestlers, you know, I mean, they are really good vignettes. My god, it's like it really has got that cinematic quality that I really, really like. And I care about the wrestlers. It's great. And the hour-long format is perfect. Like, perfect time. I love it's like so easily digestible, especially if you DVR the show, which I do. And you can easily digest it and be like, I can't wait for another episode. So you can binge watch it. And that's probably the problem that they're having, is that you have people like me that binge watch the show.
Right.
And that may be leading to the reason why the show is on the bubble for coming back for season number two. So,
well, it looks very expensive to make. I think it'll come back. I think it'll come back. I feel pretty strong about that. I don't know why I do. But you know, you might be right about the binge watching aspect. They're building up to a big show pretty soon. And I think what we'll see is most likely El Patron crowned as their, well, champion. You know, the last show dealt with ancient medallions. And, you know, who would be the seven ancient medallions that hold sacred and magic powers. Now, normally I would say, what the hell is that? But they do it in such a clever, tongue-in-cheek, you know, schlock movie sort of way that it really is interesting to watch. And they somehow have, you know, they've made these things important. And that's what's lacking in some of the other shows, Ring of Honor, definitely TNA. Things aren't important enough on the show. You know, they're fighting each other. Why are they fighting each other? That's the whole point. The whole point is two people are there and you got to get a guy on the ground. That's the whole point of wrestling. Why do you have to get him on the ground to win? Why? What's the importance? Well, in the old days, you could win the title, you could make more money. It was 1911. Okay. So it just all goes back to making things important. Why am I getting the guy in the ground? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Love the show. My second favorite. I mean, I guess Raw is my favorite show because, I mean, as much as we diss Raw, you know, you will get
Brock. We don't diss Raw. Michael Cole. No. You say that, but we don't diss Raw.
We like it a lot more than others do, I tell you that.
Yeah, we enjoy Raw. We like to suggest things to make it better.
I mean, if Raw were an hour long, can you imagine how good the show would be?
Well, I tell you, if you have Hulu, it is an hour long. I tell you what, we're about ready to wrap this show up. Parting thoughts, Mr. Anthony.
A lot of wrestling on these days.
NXT TakeOver.
NXT TakeOver is coming up. So much going on. Will Sami Zayn be there?
Yeah.
What will happen?
Kevin Owens will win by default.
You know, don't be surprised if you see Finn Balor in that spot. Let's just say that.
It could happen.
Yeah, it'll be another great show. You know, looking forward to that one. I'm actually really looking forward to the Elimination Chamber too. Yeah. I'm just kind of, you know, booking on the fly. Sometimes it's kind of, you got to give it to them, man. They're coming up with a lot of ideas. Well, one more interesting wrap up thought.
Okay.
Apparently, you know why they have so much new run programming on the network? Apparently no one watches the back catalog hardly at all.
Yeah,
apparently hardly anyone watches it. The things they watch the most are the new episodes. The new episodes. They watch the pay-per-views. They watch stuff like the podcast, you know, the Cena Jericho thing or the Stone Cold thing. They Tough Enough has been getting a lot of watches because that was a really good season of Tough Enough, even though it didn't have high ratings. The one from 2011. And, you know, when they put the new episode of Tough Enough on, I'm sure people will watch that too. But people are not watching the back catalog, which I find extraordinary because that's really why I got it. So they have to put on new shows. And I'm glad that they're thinking outside the box and coming as like, okay, Elimination Chamber, put it on there. King of the Ring, okay, 45-minute show, screw it, put it on there. You know, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
but they're learning as they go with this network. They are really learning as they go. So we'll see it evolve in the next year, just like we saw the previous.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that. I mean, you know, I still watch the back catalog, but I know that I'm not your normal dude. You know,
I was watching a Clash of the Champions the other day. One of the title match was WCW 92. The title match was Ron Simmons, who held the belt, formerly Farouk. Ron Simmons against Cactus Jack, because I like to watch stuff like that. Right. Now, I don't know. It wasn't a great match, by the way, but like, who the hell would go back and watch that? Probably not a whole lot of people.
No, you and I may be the only ones. That's not true. You know, the thing about the network is the fact that it does offer a value when you consider what all you're getting. The fact that it's there makes you feel comfortable in purchasing because it is an added value.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what your background is or why you tune into wrestling or why you have the WWE network, you've got it. Whether it's to see behind the scenes, whether it's to see old matches or whatever, it's trying to be something for everyone. If you're a wrestling fan, this is the app for you. I think that's what they're really saying. If you're into wrestling or wrestling as a lifestyle, that sounds really weird, but if you're going to be part of the WWE universe, which is a, you know, basically a catch-all for being part of the lifestyle of the WWE, you know, and they're going to tell you what's fashionable, they're going to tell you what's cool, they're going to tell you, you know, and then that's what they're doing. That's why they have the lifestyle programs and the reality show and Future Shock and, you know, the Renee Young show and just all these other things, is that they're involved with everything cool that they think you should be about, or they feel that they're on the pulse of stuff that you care about.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about, is inspiring brand loyalty, offering value. And I believe they do that in spades. I think they're really touching on something. And when they finally, you know, get up to speed with what their numbers show, what their surveys show, man, this network is going to be awesome. And
I mean, you're right about that. Once they get up to speed, this network will be awesome because they want to give people what the people want. I promise.
Yeah, it's what's best for business. I tell you what, on that note, we should wrap this show up. Once again, Stephen Anthony, myself, Al John Go, you can find us at P Wrestling Cast. Occasionally, Stephen will post blogs and commentary on ProWrestlingCast.com. You can check out our entire back library of podcasts and webcasts. You can see our face this week, of course, being audio only. We appreciate that. The internet is hating on us this week, so we apologize that it's audio only. But we'd love for you to get in touch with us social media-wise. Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter. And, you know, what do you think? What are your, what are your picks for Payback? Let us know and we'll discuss it in our post-show review of that pay-per-view event. And what are your thoughts with the tag team division? What are your thoughts on Elimination Chamber? What are your thoughts on the WWE Network thus far? Feel free to let us know. And hell, man, are you interested in Global Force Wrestling? Are you interested in the stuff we're covering? Is there stuff we're not covering that you'd like us to cover? Let us know via social media as well. Once again, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, Wrestling Cast on Facebook. And in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Al John on behalf of the heel Stephen Anthony. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkel in this episode. Promo of the week, Stephen.
He's what? Pissed off. He's Nick Bockwinkel is pissed that he has to fight Mad Dog Vachon. He has to go down to his level. Mr. Bockwinkel has some very eloquent ways to describe why this is disconcerting for him. And what's the term he uses? I already forgot it. Christ.
It's regress.
He has to retrogress down
retrogress.
To
his level. Yes. I have to retrogress to your level. And by the way, Nick Bockwinkel and Heenan together, what an amazing team. In the AWA, there was nothing better than Heenan. You had Bockwinkel, a champion who could talk, and he looked like a freaking champion. That hair was amazing back in the day, if we're talking about hair. Nick Bockwinkel and Mean Gene at his best with his sports coat.
And just to let you know, Bockwinkel said in a thing I recently saw that they never knew what the other was going to say. He would say he would get a minute. Heenan would say something for half a minute, and they didn't even discuss it. They just went out and played their characters.
That's brilliant. And once again, this promo is brilliant. We are calling this Lowest Elements of Humanity. It is Nick Bockwinkel, and he's being interviewed by the likes of Mean Gene Okerlund, accompanied by the Weasel, pre-Weasel, Mr. Bobby the Brain Heenan from AWA. And I'm trying to figure out what year this was. I believe this was 1982.
That sounds right. You know, it's either 1980, 81, or 82.
Yeah, so early 80s for this, and I'll...
Pre-Hulk Hogan.
It's definitely pre-Hulk Hogan. No, you're right. I think this was 1981.
I'm sorry, I mean pre-Hulkamania. I mean, this is early. Yes. This is old stuff, kids.
Yes. Enjoy Nick Bockwinkel in this episode. Lowest Elements of Humanity. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to tuck your head.
Promo of the week.
An underdog in the Battle Royal, perhaps an underdog in this title bout.
Well, I have to respect my intelligence because I predicted that one of the smaller men, not that 240 pounds is small, would come out the victor in the Battle Royal. Now, Mad Dog Vachon, you stand up here and you epitomize the lowest elements of humanity. You talk about coming out of garbage cans, and you've got something to be thankful and grateful on this day. And this is the opportunity of your lifetime. I want you to know something. I am very grateful, but then I worked very hard for what I have. I've maintained it. I've represented the heavyweight championship of the world with the class and the dignity that it deserves. Now, there's one thing about the human animal. If it has class, it has it. If it doesn't, you cannot give it to them. And as far as you are concerned, you cannot come to my level of class and sophistication. You cannot come to my wrestling ability. But I can see that the human animal has always been able to go down the ladder, back, retrogress, into the gutter. And I hate to say it, but on Thanksgiving Day, I guess that's exactly where we're going to have to go and see what kind of bones and carcass is going to be left over, because we're going to have to scrap and kick and bite and scratch. I, the heavyweight champion of the world, the most sophisticated and respected athlete in our sport, will have to, for one day, get down at your level. And it'll be a very denigrating day, but I have every intention of coming out of this the heavyweight champion of the world.
You know, Nick Bockwinkel, it's just possibly conceivable that all of us on Thanksgiving have a lot to be thankful for, past, present, and future.
Well, I'm going to change the course of history. Thanksgiving night, we're not going to have turkey. We're going to have dog. And you know how you prepare dog? Well, you don't put cranberries to it. You don't put stuffings to it. You put the boots to it. So when the dog's down there on the mat and he's getting his teeth kicked out, both of them, and he's rolling around in pain, he's going to know he's in the ring with the heavyweight champion of the world. Now for the question of the day. How's the Vikings going to blow it today, huh? Figure that one out. The same as Vachon. They're outclassed.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.